AM 1240 and 95.3 FM, WJON. I'm joined now by Gail Cruickshank, Talent Director, Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation. Gail, thanks for joining me again today.
Good morning, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Okay, now Gail's a regular guest every third Monday of the month. We talk about things going on in regards to, you know, working, hiring, employers, lots of different things. So today our focus is on nailing the interview. Where do you start? What things should you focus on if you're looking to try to, you know, really do a good job in the interview?
Jay, there's really four key things that I always recommend to job seekers that they should focus on as they're getting ready for that interview. First off, you know, do your homework. Number two, practice. Three, professionalism. And then four is the follow-up.
Okay, so when you're talking about doing your homework, where do you start? What things do you suggest that people do?
It's a great question, Jay. And again, a lot of times candidates will say, well, I got the interview, so I'm just going to go. I'm all ready to go. And that's really not the case. Now that you've got that time, you know, the company is researching you to make sure you might be a good fit, but also you need to research the company. You know, have you looked at their website? Have you joined their social media? Have you talked to any employees that maybe work there? You need to make sure that this job and this company is a good fit for you as well as you for them. So, and also make sure you nail down those details. Where am I supposed to be? What time? Who is interviewing me? What door do I go to? What is the dress code that I should come prepared for? You know, confirm a time and a place and make sure you're even early. One of the statistics that I found is 47% of employers would discount an employee who was late. So don't count yourself off the list before you even show up.
So when you're
networking, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you the next part about here. When you're talking about, you know, doing that research on it, do you want to make sure when you're doing that homework that you're going to jot down some details that you would use for follow-up questions or just to show that you've done that homework?
Absolutely, you want to do that. And again, if an interviewer is really thorough, they might cover a lot of your questions, but you have to make sure you have a few extra in your back pocket that really portrays that you've done your research, you know a lot about the company. It could be something as simple as, I see this company is very engaged in volunteerism with the United Way. I have always been a big volunteer of the United Way, or that sort of thing. It gives you that ability to show that you know a lot about the company, which again, portrays your interest.
Now, when we were talking about resume construction in the past and in other shows that we've done, now one of the things that you mentioned, which I think is really good, is to make sure that that resume is aligned with the job you're seeking.
It absolutely needs to be. And yes, it requires a little bit more time for you as a job seeker, but that employer wants to know that you have taken their job description and you have aligned your experiences, your skill set, your abilities to that job description. So when you build your resume, you should have exact examples that align with that job description, because it just tells that employer, this person took the time, plus they have skill alignment that might be a great fit for our company.
Is it important to make sure that you do that, just because if you just have a generic resume, it may not go into some of those job experiences that you've had that could be beneficial to the job you're seeking? So how do you include that? How do you adjust your resume to a point where you're going to include some of those specific experiences? Where do you put that in?
Well, it would just be within your experience at company X. You maybe had that same responsibility, or they might be looking for somebody that has certain computer skill sets, and you can list that under your skills and abilities or your certifications that you have. If you're looking for a type of job that has a lot of certifications, you can list those specific things there. But it's really just thinking about what you did at your past jobs that are aligning with what they're looking for with that particular position that you're applying to.
Gail, how about the practice? When you're looking to practice for the interview, when you say be ready for anything, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
What is the anything that you're most likely needing to be ready for? And if you're practicing with a friend or family member, how should they approach this? And is there somebody specifically that maybe has done some hiring that you try to, you know, somebody that's a friend or family member that could really be beneficial to you here in this case?
You definitely have to practice. And I tell people, you know, find whoever you have available, be it a friend, a family member. It could be the mirror if you don't have a friend or family member that is available for you at that particular time. It is wonderful if you can have some time with an interviewer, somebody that's a recruiter in their profession. They can really help prepare you in a way that you will be just comfortable and ready to go. I mean, you want to sound sincere, you want to sound natural, but you also have to practice your sentences. You need to hear your voice and you need to hear how you're answering questions. It's really critical that you don't start to ramble on, because then you're going to lose the interviewer. You need to think through your answer. You can take a couple of seconds when the interviewer asks you that question, but really make your answers concise. And again, it's important for you to hear yourself so you know what you're sounding like on the other end.
So you want to make sure that you know the answer, you're clear about what your answer is, and you don't get to a point where it seems like you're just kind of filling time.
Exactly. Exactly.
So do you also find what kind of questions that you could have some weakness on? Is that what the practicing is also going to benefit you from? If whoever it is that you're working with on this is going to ask some questions, and if you feel like, oh, I just got stumped by this, that seems like that'd be a red flag.
Absolutely. And again, there's some great tools on our JobSpot portal that have probably about 65 different questions that you might get asked during interview. I just encourage job seekers, take a look at those. You know, you're all going to be ready for those standard questions, as I call them. But usually if it's a good interviewer, they're going to try and throw one or two in there that are going to really portray if you can think on your feet, if you can respond, if it can be something that maybe you weren't 100% prepared for. So that's where the more practicing you can do and the different perspectives you can get from other friends or family members will only strengthen your interview.
Let's talk about professionalism. Where do you start?
Well, where I always start is dress to impress. You never get a second chance for a first impression. So, and I always also tell people, you're never going to be disallowed for a consideration of a job if you overdressed. Now, on the flip side, there's some pretty staggering numbers that if you don't follow the dress code. So 71% of employers would not hire a person that missed the dress code memo. So if when you are getting your interview set up with your potential employer, talking about time, place, all those sort of details, if they don't tell you what the dress code is within that organization, ask the question so you can come prepared to look the way you want to look. If you might happen to overdress the first interview, then when you get a second chance at a second interview, that interviewer will probably tell you, you know, by the way, you know, we've got a casual dress code on Fridays. You're coming in on Friday. Feel free to wear this. So always err on the side of over-professional. The other thing I want to say about professionalism is you might get into the interview 5 minutes and say, oh, this just is not for me. You need to follow through with the whole interview in a professional manner. You know, you need to, again, finish it out, because that's critical in just you showing your professionalism, even if the fit isn't right. The other big thing I stress very hard with job seekers is never, never, never badmouth a previous employer. An interviewer might ask you some questions that might try and get you to do that. Stay on the positive side. It's definitely to your best interest. Word it in a way that it is not negative about the company or previous people that you've worked with.
Now, if you badmouth an employer, I suppose an impression can also be that, well, this could be a problem employee. If they're going to badmouth their previous employer, how are they going to handle things at this job?
Absolutely. That is definitely where a recruiter's mind will go. And so it's just better to always stay on the positive side.
I think another good suggestion you have in regards to professionalism is to not bring your phone in with you. That's an interesting one, because we bring our phone with everywhere.
Right. And this is one place or one instance when you go to an interview that you do not want to bring it. You definitely don't want to have it with you. And unless the interviewer has told you to bring some information with or that sort of thing, if that be the case, then obviously turn it off. But I was really surprised when I was doing a little research that I found some statistics that said 90% of employers would disqualify a candidate if they simply touched their phone during the interview. So make sure if it's with you that it is turned off and it is not visible to the interview. If it's in your handbag, if it's in your coat, if it's in your pants pocket, whatever it is. But I would recommend leaving it in the car. For that half hour, hour, you do not need that phone.
How about the difference between confidence and arrogance?
Yes, I talk about that a lot because you definitely want to be confident, but you don't want to come off as being arrogant. And because, again, that is, again, a red flag for that interviewer that what are they going to be like in my environment? So, again, think through how you're going to answer the questions. And, again, think about collaboration. Think about teamwork. It's not everything I did. You know, it's all about we as a group or, you know, my team did this. I mean, again, you want to show your skill set and your confidence, but you don't want it to be it's all about me.
Okay, last one, the follow-up. How should you handle that?
You definitely want to follow the direction that your interviewer gave you. Usually they will say at the end of an interview, we will be following up within this number of days, or this is how I'm going to follow up with you. Definitely appreciate that and respect that timeline. You don't want to be that constant person that is calling every single day, checking on the status of your interview. Having said that, I also have a statement that I use a lot. There is nothing wrong with being what I call professionally persistent. And what that is maybe it's surpassed those couple of days the interviewer told you that they were going to get back to you by. There's nothing wrong with calling and saying, "Hi, I'm Gail Cruikshank. I had an interview with Jay on Monday. Just checking to see if there is anything else, any other information that I can provide that'll help you with your selection process." So you're not calling to say, "Why the heck haven't you called me?" You're just calling to, again, give yourself one other opportunity to share some more information about yourself, to answer another question, to really reiterate your passion for this particular job and company.
Right. So you should be persistent, but not overwhelming and seem like you're too wanting it.
Exactly. You definitely want to show that you want it, but you need to keep that on the professional side of the arena and not, you know, being a pain and, you know, just a constant call that they're like, "Oh no, here's this person calling me again. She calls every day."
Gail, if people do want to find out more information about what we talked about today and to find out what jobs might be available here in the St. Cloud area, what suggestions do you have?
Really, what I want to suggest is we have got so much information on our JobSpot portal, everything from preparing your resume to the interviewing to the networking. It's all free tools and resources to use. You don't need an account. You don't get any emails, spams, any of that kind of thing. It is just created for the community so you can help prepare yourself for aligning with your next job. So it's greaterstcloudjobspot.com. In addition to the tips and interview prep that I've talked about that is on the website, there is also videos there. There also is feedback from a lot of our local leaders in the community about how to prepare, how to network. So definitely take advantage of that. I would like to leave you with one comment as a closing as you prep for an interview. And it really all comes down to preparation and discipline. The candidates who are generally interested and want to prove their value are the ones who will take the time to research and show how they can fit into that organization. So think about that as you're preparing for your interviews, and good luck.
Yeah. Gail, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next month.
All right. Thanks so much, Jay. Have a great day.
You too. That's Gail Cruikshank, Talent Director, Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation. This is AM 1240, 95.3 FM, WJON.